You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. Now we're going to turn to ongoing trade disputes between Canada and the U.S., specifically as they relate to dairy. President Trump has called out Canada for its high tariffs on U.S. milk and dairy. In April, he tweeted, "Canada has made business for our dairy farmers in Wisconsin and other border states very difficult. We will not stand for this." We're going to take a closer look at Canada's dairy policy and how American dairy farmers are faring with Brian Gould. Brian is the Rank Professor of Agribusiness in the Department of Agriculture and Applied Economics at the University of Wisconsin. Brian, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me this morning.
We're also going to take your calls in this short time before 8 o'clock, 800-642-1234. Are you a dairy farmer? Has your farm been struggling in recent years? And have you been doing, or have you been doing okay? And what do you think about President Trump's Canadian thoughts? 800-642-1234 or ideas at WPR.org. So, Brian, the U.S. and Canada have been engaging in trade disputes for this entire month of June. Most recently, President Trump threatened to slap tariffs on Canadian cars and parts in exchange for this dairy stuff. Bring us up to speed on this tit for tat.
Well, I'm not particularly agree with the statement that it's in retaliation for the dairy conditions with respect to the dairy industry. Dairy is relatively small when you're looking at cars and manufactured dairy products, especially with Canada. Canada tends to be our third or fourth largest importer of U.S. dairy products, and it's much less than Mexico and China and Southeast Asia, typically. So it's an issue, but I don't think it's due to the steel and aluminum tariffs are not in reaction to the dairy side.
Canada levies a huge tariff on U.S. milk, 270%. The U.S. isn't the only country that's annoyed by Canada's system. Why are they so high, and does it really affect us?
Carrie, I hate to disagree with you again.
Okay.
Sure, the out-of-quota tariff, you're quite right, is over 200%. That is, the U.S. Producers can export to Canada up to a certain quota, what's called a quota amount, and that tariff on that quota amount is only 10%. And you're quite right that that second out-of-quota tariff is 200-some-odd percent, but again, it may be a deterrent. We don't know because we've never hit that quota. And again, I can't envision any dairy manufacturing shipping a product to Canada with that level of tariff. But we got to remember that back in '92 and '93, when we were negotiating NAFTA, U.S. dairy exports represented only about 2% of our milk production in terms of milk solids. In April, it represented 18%.
Hmm.
So, to be quite honest, back in 92, 94, dairy really wasn't something that was going to make or break NAFTA. It was the manufacturing side and more the more traditional commodities like corn and soybean meals. Now it's very important, and that's why the dairy industry is extremely nervous about the brinkmanship philosophy of the president with respect to some of these tariff impositions. And we're very, if we lose Canada, well, you know, that's in April, we shipped about $50 million of U.S. dairy exports to Canada compared to $122 million to Mexico. We're very concerned about that. So I don't think we need to look at that 270% tariff as a straw dog. I mean, it's something that's there, but it's not the most important thing.
So we ship more dairy to, you said, Indonesia and Mexico?
Mexico's typically our number one dairy exporting market by far, followed by, depending upon China. China comes in and out of the export market quite a bit, and sometimes they're number two. In April, they were number three at $60 million worth of imports from the U.S. compared, again, to $120 million with Mexico. So you can see with $120 million in Mexico and $50 million in Canada, we're talking about $170 million worth of exports in 1 month associated with the NAFTA countries. So we're very, very, as an industry, very, very concerned about throwing a monkey wrench into that agreement. And again, dairy, those numbers sound like a lot. There are a lot for the dairy industry, but compared to the manufacturing sector and corn and soybeans, it's not as great as those. So there is some concern that dairy could be thrown under the bus in order to placate the concerns about the other commodities.
And dairy farms are struggling right now, yes?
No doubt about it. We had all-time record milk prices in 2014. Now we're substantially less than that, not quite. I would say two-thirds of that is our price, $15, $16 Class 3 milk in the near-term futures. So it is an issue, but the one possible positive thing from the dairy sector with respect to these tariffs, if China goes through and follows with their tariffs on beans and corn, Wisconsin dairy farmers could see substantially less cost for their feed inputs, although if they're selling feed, they'd have less value of their output. So it's a win-lose situation.
Are they struggling across the board, big farms and small farms?
Yes, it's not a question of big versus a small. Small farm. Some small farms are doing okay. They're well run. They well capitalized. They don't have an overly high burden of debt. Same thing on the large farm size. There are some large farms that are having trouble, and I don't want to bring in specific cases, but there are cases recently where large farms are having to get out of the business. And California is a typical example. They had a reduction in number of milk cows last month, and that's, I don't know what number of consecutive months that they've had that, but California, which their average size is about 10 times the size of Wisconsin operations, a lot of their dairy farmers are having significant trouble, and their dairy output is going down.
So the dairy, I've heard that there's an oversupply of milk. That is not true.
No, that's not true. There is an oversupply of milk because, again, we're in an international market. Most of our exports are what we call generic commodities, non-fat dry milk, dry whey, cheddar cheese, butter. So they're pretty generic. Where they're made really doesn't matter. Really, cost is where it's at. And there's been changes in the international marketplace. For example, EU in 2015 got rid of their milk quotas, and they're substantially increasing their milk output. And not the same thing with New Zealand. New Zealand is sort of unique in that they're a grazing-based dairy system, and they're having a good year this year. So their supply is up a little bit compared to last year. There is an oversupply, and again, there's an oversupply is indicated by the relatively low price of milk. Mm-hmm. And if we have to keep let me back up for a minute. Our growth in domestic demand for dairy products is less than the growth in our milk production in the U.S. So if we have to keep all of our product within the borders of the U.S., our prices are going to go very, very low, and it's going to be a replication of 2009. And dairy farmers out there know what 2009 means.
There's a growing call for a minimum milk price. What do you think of that?
Well, there is currently a minimum milk price, believe it or not. It's set monthly depending upon the price of wholesale dairy products, but may not be the minimum that is desired. That is, you have a minimum price, but there's also, my understanding is something like around $20. That is not the minimum price established under the federal order in California milk pricing systems. Currently, as I indicated, it's around $15 or $16 for Class 3 milk. I've heard that as well in producer meetings, and I've also heard discussions about maybe it's time to think about supply management.
Mm.
And here we are criticizing Canada for having supply management. And I've increasingly heard a farmer saying we've got to do something about this excess supply because producers are acting individually, but it's the industry as a whole that determines the market price for milk. And it's an interesting situation in terms of what we think we may want to do domestically versus what we're criticizing Canada doing internationally.
That is interesting. We are talking about tariffs possibly with Canada and how it's affecting dairy farms and the price of milk. What are the other potential solutions for struggling U.S. dairy farmers?
That's a very good question. Continue with our innovation. again, continuing the development of our export markets. As I said, in March, we set an all-time record in terms of the value of dairy products exported. We reset that record in April. And so we're doing a great job of expanding our markets, and we have to expand those in order to keep our keep that product going overseas. We cannot keep all of the dairy products in the U.S. We cannot consume ourselves out of this problem domestically. And we can only do that domestically if we cut domestic production. And that's the trade-off.
Here in Wisconsin, Governor Scott Walker announced a Dairy Task Force 2.0. The first one was held back in the 80s. Tell us more about that.
Well, again, it's designed to, it's a little bit of a strategic planning type of exercise. And like you said, in the early 80s or mid-80s, there was a similar exercise. And one of the recommendations coming out of that effort was that Wisconsin should try to increase its production of specialized cheese or special varieties of cheese, getting away from generic commodities such as mozzarella and cheddar. And we've done that. And we've done that to great success. I think it's approximately 25% of Wisconsin cheese production is specialty cheese, and those are high value added products. Much more, the value per pound is much greater at the retail level than the typical cheddar and mozzarella. And that's a way producers and dairy manufacturers can get that increase that bottom line is by producing a higher value product. So this newest call is to revisit that and see where do we go from here. I'm not sure there's anything off the table. But remember, we can think about locally, but we can't consume ourselves locally out of this problem. It's an international problem. We have to think nationally.
You talked about supply management on our side, that people are talking about this. If Canada were to change its system and make it more open, would that help us?
It would help us. But again, the size of their economy is relatively small, and they have a fairly large dairy sector to begin with. So anything that would reduce the domestic cost would improve our export position with them.
We have been talking to Brian Gould, the Rank Professor of Agribusiness in the Department of Agriculture and Applied Economics at the University of Wisconsin. Thank you for being with us, Brian.
Thanks again. Talk to you soon.
It's The Morning Show.